And man, this is yesterday. We were exhausted. We had 300 people come into the sanctuary, and we had over 200 kids across the street, and a bunch of volunteers. And it was a very nice day for us to share the gospel, but it was also exhausting. We went to sleep early, but we got up way too early. So, you know, hopefully God will give us a good breath of wind here, and we'll be okay. There is nothing more important to us in our walk with God than having our faith intact. And you know, if I were to ask you to raise your hand and tell me what's your definition of faith, usually Christians have, I call it a cliche Christianity, where they'll say one word, you know, and that's the end of how they would describe faith. But for something so important, we really need to know what it means to have faith. And we really need to you know, understand it. Now, it's interesting that, you know, faith is something that throughout Scripture is present. And we're going to look at a story from Isaiah and then from the Gospel, like we've been doing, to talk about faith and the lack of it in one case and then our need of it in another. But in God's Word, as God speaks to people, He makes a very clear statement about what faith is. So our story is going to come from Isaiah 7, and this is one of my favorite texts, and I do this every couple of years, if not more. It's about two kings, Pekah and Rezin. They were up in the north, one the king of Aram, one the king of Israel, when Israel still existed. And these two kings were going to make war against Judah, and the king of Judah was Ahaz. So all that is to set up the players, okay, in the story that's coming up. But Pekah and Rezin, the northern kings, they wanted to attack Judah. They wanted to you know, take over that nation. And they were afraid. So it says, when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. So here it is. You have to think, okay, if Ohio and Canada decided to attack Detroit, okay, like think of that, you know, and you know, the mayor and the, you know, the people are afraid because the enemies are right at the gate. Now in our life we don't have that, you know, type of battle going on, but we do have battle going on all the time with us. The thing about this world is everything in it is shakable, right? You know, if we have health, man, we should be thankful for it because, you know, I'm a pastor, so I get to meet a lot of people where their health gives way, and it's like all of a sudden your life changes. You know, money, God tells us money is not trustworthy. People think that if I had money, everything would be good, everything would be right, and the truth is, even if you have money, it doesn't change the world. It doesn't change the nature of things, and the money itself is not stable. It can go away in a minute, you know, yeah. Think of, you know, there's nothing that's stable in this world. And so we always live kind of in this area of being either spiritually attacked, physically attacked, going through all kinds of different problems. Thursday night, I was working in my garage. I'm making a cabinet and doing all this nice thing. And I get done. I go in the house. I'm going to relax and, you know, it's my day off and just spend the evening, you know, and the sewer backed up. You know, and I mean, it wasn't a small problem. It was a big problem. And all day Friday, we're digging holes in the basement and, you know, and that's a small thing, you know, and I'm thinking about that. Oh, man, this is such a big deal. Da, da, da. And then I find out that one of my best friends had a pacemaker put in that day. And it's like, wow, you know, how fragile is life? How many things can come and attack us? And in a minute, you know, you think everything's okay, and then the next minute it's not. And that's where these people were. They were afraid. And the choice for us often is between these two things, between fear and faith. And what do you do? How do you live in that moment? How do you handle the troubles and trials of the world, right? Do you lean on faith or do you go towards fear? Now, the Lord said to Isaiah, so this is Isaiah, this is before Israel's God, he says, go out, you and your son, share Josh Hob. Now, that means a remnant will return, and we're not going to deal with that. Go out and meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct, the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field, and say to him, here's the definition. Here's the definition. Say to him, be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of those two smoldering stubs of fire. We're talking about the two kings. Says, right? Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah, Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. So again, hostile takeover, destruction. But the thing that God says in this minute and moment of trouble, four words that he uses. First is to guard. Guard your heart. Protect yourself. That's what it means to be watchful. Guard your heart. Listen, the first thing that is attacked is your heart when it comes to faith or fear. If my inclination is to be fearful in my heart, then I need to be aware of that, and I need to move towards faith instead of fear. You understand? I need to say, now, wait a minute, why am I afraid? What's going on in my life? What's attacking me? Okay? And who is able to sustain me? That's what you're moving towards faith. The second one is keep calm. And it's like, be at peace, tranquil. Right? This isn't some Hindu meditative, let me blah, blah, blah. No, this is why. What could ever make me calm in the midst of a storm? What could make me, unshakable? Because there's only one thing that is unshakable in all the world, and that's Almighty God. Have you ever in a moment of crisis, in a moment of trial, in a time of trouble, you open your Bible, look into the scripture, and start thinking about God rather than thinking about you or your problem or the moment of the day? And there is a transformation that takes place in us, right? We start to see heavenly things and eternal things and God things instead of everything that's breaking, everything that's shakable, right? Be calm. There's peace with God. You remember what's one of his names? Shar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, right? One of the names of Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Shar Shalom. That is the place of peace. It's not in, you don't find it in any peace that you might find in this world is gone in a minute. And Jesus told his guys, he said, listen, he says, the peace I give you something that the world can't give you. It's not like the peace of the world, right? So tranquil, be calm. Why? Because I'm in God, I'm in Christ. Don't be afraid. Now there's just the classic, don't run towards fear. Don't be afraid. Now he's hearing this. Think about this. This is God speaking through Isaiah to the king. He's telling him, don't be afraid. If I have a word of God and I'm still afraid, something's wrong. Right? You understand? Unless I'm doing something wrong and the word of God tells me so. But the idea of what am I trusting? What am I afraid of? And what does the Word of God say about it? Don't lose heart. And that's the real big one. Don't give up. The enemy, we have a spiritual, we're going to go back to Ephesians after Christmas, and we're going to do the spiritual warfare. It was too much to deal with, during the holiday. So the spiritual battle, the enemy wants you to quit. He wants you to give up on God, give up on prayer, give up on worship, give up on fellowship with the body of Christ. He wants you to quit. In the book of Revelation, it says he makes war against the saints. He wants us to stop. And what's he want? He wants to get the testimony of Christ out of our mouths. He wants us to curse. He wants us to lie. He wants us to do anything except for worship the Lord and honor him and live before him. So the last thing that God says about faith here is don't quit. Don't give up, right? Don't lose heart. And so now in this case, he's telling him, you know, that these two rulers that are attacking him are going to come to nothing. Yeah, and he tells them more about that. Oh, there it is. Thus says the Lord God, it will not take place. It will not happen. Talk about these two kings. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remuel's son. That's Pekah. And basically what God is saying is within 60 years, those two kings won't be powerful enough to do anything. One of them, the nation's going to be gone. The Assyrians are going to come in. They're going to destroy that nation. And neither one of those people are going to be able to do anything. Now, this is a firm word from God about what's immediately troubling them. Don't you wish you had that? You know, like the thing I'm worried about, God's going to say, well, don't worry, because in the next 6 months, this is exactly what's going to happen, you know, with your job or your house or whatever you're concerned about, right? And we don't get those kinds of words, right? We don't, you know, sometimes we can kind of figure it out and know what's happening. But we do get words in general. Don't be anxious, but bring everything to God in prayer, you know? Philippians tells us that. Don't let worry eat you alive, but take it to the Lord in prayer. Call on the name of the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything you need will be added to you. One of Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Pray for the kingdom to come. You know, one of the things, if you get beat up enough in this life, you will pray for the kingdom to come. You will ask God, you know, your will be done, because I'm tired of what's going on in this world right now. I want to see real righteousness, real justice. I want to see a real king on the throne. I'm tired of the games that are being played, right? Yeah. But we're giving these general words that God gives us, and they will guard our heart. They will keep us together. And he tells us, he says to you know, Ahaz, he says, and this is one you need to just remember. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Say that with me. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And that is, I mean, that sums up our salvation in Christ. It sums up everything that we're about. Faith is the only thing we have that can please God. That's the only thing that connects us to God, is our faith. You know, Abraham believes God, and it's accredited to him as righteousness. When Jesus Christ died and rose again from the dead, and we look at that powerful event, and we say, that meant something to me. That Jesus died for my sins and he rose for my righteousness, right? That faith is what makes us able to stand. We get through the world, we get beat up, we get knocked down, but we never get knocked out and we never give up, because the truth of God's word and the solid nature of his word, the trustworthiness of his plan, it doesn't go away. It isn't shakable. What's amazing about this poor fella Ahaz was his absolute lack of faith. So the Lord tells him, says, then the Lord spoke to Ahaz and said, ask for a sign for yourself from the Lord your God. Make it as deep as Sheol, that's the grave, or as high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. Now he was lying through his teeth. See, here's the thing. Ahaz had another plan. Ahaz knew that Assyria, a great nation, if he became friends with them, they would take out these two kings. He wasn't going to trust in the Lord, and he wasn't going to ask for a sign from God. Can you imagine? You get a sure word from the Lord, and you say, nah, that's okay. I got my own plan, my own agenda. Really bad idea. Really bad idea, right? But God speaks to him. And he says, then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. He's saying there's going to be a child born, 9 months, and then before that child is, you know, able to know right and wrong, which is, you know, like a couple of years, so those kings are going to be gone. Now, we also know this as a promise that's quoted in Matthew, right? What it meant here was, and literally here, it was a calendar. He says there's going to be a child. He's going to, what does Emmanuel mean? God is with us. And what God's telling Ahaz, and what he tells us later, is that it's not because Ahaz has got a real clever plan and he can go make friends with a big nation, Assyria, and protect himself that way. That's not what's going to save him from this crisis or save the people of God from this crisis. But the idea that God is with him, that God is for him, that God is going to protect his people for the moment. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with us. Now we have the rest of the story in Matthew. It says, and I'm going to read a little that's not up here, but it says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, called his name Jesus. How am I saved? By faith. Paul tells us, and we just did it in Ephesians, you're saved by faith through grace. Right? You're saved by faith. Faith is so important to us. And here, God has given us a Savior. He has given us Jesus Christ. He has given us the means of righteousness, the means of knowing God, of being in a relationship with God that was never possible before. Because of Jesus Christ, we actually have righteousness imputed into us, given to us. We can stand, it says, in the very throne room of God. We can approach God with boldness, with confidence, because Jesus Christ died and gave us righteousness. We can know that when our time on this earth is done, that God will raise us up from the dead just as he rose Jesus Christ from the dead. And we know that because God has promised it, because God has said so, there's a kingdom of God, there's a kingdom of heaven, there's a place of eternal peace and glory, which the ruler's name we know very well, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus will be King and Lord of heaven. It says here, he will save his people from his sins. My faith, if I don't stand in my faith, I will not stand at all. If I don't believe in the things that God has promised, if I don't hold on to the word of God, if I don't hold on to the name that God gave me to call upon, there's one name under heaven that we call upon to be saved, and that is the name of Jesus. 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 Guard your heart. Guard your heart. If you start to doubt, guard your heart. Fight for your faith. Fight for the truth of God to be real in your heart. Find peace. Find peace in the idea that the turmoil of the day is not going to last forever. That one day we are going to be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to stand with the millions of saints and the millions of angels. We're going to get to worship the Lamb of God in a heavenly throne. Be at peace. Don't be afraid when uncertainty comes. Run to faith and never, never give up. Never give up. God's plan and his object of faith, Jesus Christ, it is certain. It is like a granite foundation. It's unshakable. It's unbreakable. Never, ever. Why? Emmanuel, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for us all, Lord, that our faith would be intact, that your grace and your power would sustain us and hold us, Almighty God. Help us, Father, to know you, to listen to you, to take every good sign from you, and to be thankful for the good that you're doing. And help us, as Jesus said, to endure the trouble of this world and to overcome in the name of Christ. Amen.